think of it.
All right, Tiffany, we ready down there, ma'am? Joseph, you ready out there?
Yes, sir.
We're doing it. 6:30 PM. This is, the time is now 6:30 PM. Therefore, I call to order the regular meeting of the Harper Heights Planning and Zoning Commission for May 29, 2019. We will start with an invocation and Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Charlton will be doing the invocation. He does the best one. And then Commissioner McCann will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please join us if you'd like.
Please bow your heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for this opportunity to serve our community. We welcome citizens of Harper Heights here so we can hear their issues, and we're here to make today's decisions look really great 20 years from now. Lord, bless those who have undergone tornadoes and flooding in the Midwest as well as Northern Texas. Please keep them from harm and give them hope and care for them. Lord, we ask that you bless all who came this evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Will everybody please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance, to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you all very much. All right. The P&Z consists of volunteers appointed by the City Council. We coordinate with the city staff, owners, developers, agents, and residents to provide the council with independent, objective, and coordinated evaluations and recommendations of planning and zoning issues in the context of state statutes, local ordinances, and the city's land use and comprehensive plans. Except for preliminary plats, all votes are recommendations and are forwarded to the council for decision. Secretary will please note commissioners present and absent. I show everybody present with the exception of Commissioner Anderson, which she may come in late here. We have a quorum, of course. I need everybody to silence their cell phones or electronic devices, anything out there that make noise. I also show Dustin Hallmark is here as well in the audience. The first order of business is going to be the approval of the minutes for the regular meeting held April 24th, 2019. Let me know when I have a motion.
I move that we approve that.
Okay. Commissioner Parker.
I'll second.
All right. Commissioner Webster.
Mr. Chairman, did you get an updated minutes on the dais? Yeah, there was a correction on the first page, and so I want to make sure that the motion is for the minutes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank
you, sir. Okay, any discussion, commissioners? All in favor, please signify by raising your hands. Okay, that's the answer there. Okay, next is going to be the report on the City Council action resulting from the May 14th, 2019 and May 28th, 2019 meetings. Mr. Knowles, for the city.
All right, thank you. As you recall, you had two cases go before you in the April P&Z meeting. One of them was Z1909. Which was to rezone a property from R1 to R2I at 504 South Juanita. You recommended approval 8-1, and the City Council approved it 5-0. So that was approved. The other item, as you recall, was the R1 to R3. That did not get a recommendation of approval from the Planning and Zoning Commission, and they opted not to take that to the City Council. So that one has been indefinitely tabled. And finally, this is not a result of a P&Z action per se, but at yesterday's City Council meeting, we did have a public hearing to basically allow the establishment of brew pubs and wineries in the city of Harker Heights. So it's something that we've discussed as a body for a couple of years now, and I just wanted to let you know that did make it as an ordinance to the council. They did approve it unanimously 5-0. And the way it works is basically, just as a little bit of background, If you wanted to open up a microbrewery or brew pub or a winery, you had two ways of doing it in Harker Heights. One is to get a TO overlay in a B4 zoning district and then operate that way. The problem with that is that most TO overlays are confined to Veterans Memorial Boulevard, and a lot of these places have a different clientele than that. It's not a club, it's not a bar. In fact, they tend to be more family-friendly type of establishment, so they want to be closer to other retail and so forth. And you know, as you know, if you get a TO overlay, which is a a tavern overlay that allows a bar or a club, that stays with the property. So that was always the concern, is if somebody came in and let's say they wanted to put one in Market Heights and they got a TO overlay, well, if they went out of business or moved, then any club or bar could go in there. You know, right, wrong, or indifferent, I have an opinion on that, but that's basically been what stopped a lot of them from doing that. The other way that you could do a brew pub or a winery would be to open it as a restaurant. And then that could go anywhere that's a B3 or higher. The problem is that if you do that, by TABC regulations and the city code of ordinances, only 49% of your sales can be for alcohol. So the other 51% has to be food or something else. And brew pubs and wineries, they're not restaurants. They don't sell enough food or other products to make that something that they can do. So what we did is we created a definition for a brew pub and a winery in such a way that it limits it to just those establishments. So in other words, a bar couldn't get a brew pub license and then just go open up wherever they wanted to. They actually have to make the alcohol and sell it on their property for that to qualify. So we created definitions for brew pubs and wineries based on TABC regulations and then allowed them to go into anywhere zoned for a B4. So that's pretty much going to cover all of our major thoroughfares and so forth. So we know that there's already a group interested in building one nearby. And we've had interest from other people as well, but they just didn't want to have to locate it on veterans. So we're pretty excited about that. We think we'll see some growth. We know that there are some in Belton and Salado, and we feel like we need to, we don't want to miss out on that market. So that was, we had a mini workshop on that on May 14th, and then they asked me to bring that back as an ordinance, so I was able to do that last night, and that was approved.
Good job, Joseph. Good job. And staff.
Does anybody have any questions?
Commissioners? No, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Next is going to be the recognition of affidavits for conflict of interest.
And we have received none.
Good. All right, next is going to be a report on development activity. There we go. I thought he was going to hog the whole show.
I'll take over from here.
All right.
So, like I said last month, we're going to kind of backtrack. So I'm giving you the month of April, the full month. That way all the information is presented to you up front, just as it was delivered to the EDC. So for the month of April, we didn't have any commercial developments, new commercial developments, that is, come through the city. We did, however, receive up to 25 new residential permits, full 19 of those being in Stonewall Ridge. If you haven't been out to that subdivision, I'd suggest you go take a little loop, drive carefully. They're building on phase two, but it is nonetheless kind of one of our first initial garden communities in Harker Heights. So drive through that little loop, take a look at what's something that this body passed about a couple years ago. As far as duplexes, we've slowed down with that. We've only had two duplexes built this year so far, and we didn't have any this past month either. So based on our active residential water accounts, we've got about 10,286, that's an estimate. And we're looking at about 2.96 individuals per occupied unit. That brings us to a total of about 30,370 residents within the city of Harker Heights.
Very good.
Any questions?
Commissioners?
No, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
All right. Next year, we're going to jump into public hearings. Under public hearing is case Z19-10. Conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider recommending an ordinance to change zoning designation R1M, one family manufactured home dwelling district, to R21. Two-family infill dwelling district, a property described as, R2D2? Okay, I'm going to start over here. Just because I'm going to start over. All right. Start over. Z19-10 conducts public hearing to discuss and consider recommending an ordinance to change zoning designation from R1M, one family manufactured home dwelling district, to R2I, thank you, sir, two family infill dwelling district for property described as Kern Terrace, second extension, block 2, lots 1 through 8, 11, block 3, lots 6 to 7, block 3, lots 8 to 14, and strips adjacent 70 foot by 30 foot, and block 4, lots 1 through 16, generally located at 205, 207, 209, 210, 214, 216, 218, 219, 220, 221, 222, 224, 226, 227, Jamie Road, 400, 401, 402, 403, 404, 405, 406, 407, 408, 409, 410, 411, North Juanita Drive, and 504, 506, 508, West Millen Trail, Harper Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Great job, Mr. Chairman. I will probably have to bring a prize for whoever is the one that makes the motion for this, because it's going to be a pretty long reading. So hold me to task. Next month I'll bring a prize, whoever ends up making a motion one way or the other. I apologize for that, but as you can see, the applicant is here before you to rezone a number of properties with varying legal descriptions, and it was quite a task to kind of condense those into something that was more legible than what we had before. So you should have seen what it looked like before I fixed it up. You know, for instance, you can kind of see on this lot here that a lot of these lots have a little strip in the back that was actually given to the properties, kind of like what we saw in Wildwood. So that's why you have that 70 by 30 strip in the back kind of thing. So anyway, long story short, we're here tonight at the applicant's request to discuss rezoning these properties from an R1M, which is a single family manufactured home district, to an R2I, which is basically a duplex district. As you know, the R2I was designed to allow for smaller lots, for smaller side yard and front and rear setbacks, but it was basically designed to infill the north part of the city. And so the applicant is here today to actually fulfill the function for which this zoning district was created, was to be able to take older properties that were less developable and make them more fiscally developable, and they can do that by increasing density in the area to get their return on investment, because they're going to have to do some infrastructure upgrading for this area. So as indicated, they are looking at approximately, on our GIS it's 29 lots, but it's really 34 lots because some of these lots are merged. You can see that 205 Jamie is really three lots, 504 is really two lots, as well as 508. So that's why you've got 29 or 34 descriptions, but the GIS is only highlighting 29 lots. So I don't know if anybody caught that, but that's not there's not any confusion. That's really what's going on, is some of these lots are merged by Bellcat, but on the plat they're actual individual lots. So as indicated, the applicant is here today requesting this rezoning. They are intending to build a complete subdivision in the area as one package, and so they purchased all of this property with the intent of building a subdivision of duplexes. This is a picture of some of the properties. I mean, obviously, it covers a lot of ground. A lot of it is now vacant. The applicant has gone through and removed a lot of the units, in particular along Mary Jo. So they are in a good faith effort cleaning up the property and a lot of the manufactured homes that were on the existing site. This is the existing land use map for the area, and as you can see, a lot of it was vacant, and then most of it was covered by single and double wide manufactured homes. Many of them, again, as I indicated, have been removed by the applicant in anticipation of development. This area is designated at multiple, or it has multiple uses, including a mobile home park, single family and double wide manufactured homes. You've got the Lynn Drive multifamily, quote-unquote, condominium developments in the area, as well as single-family residences and some commercial. Sorry for the editorialization there. The zoning map shows that it is R1M, which is a one-family manufactured home dwelling district, surrounded by manufactured home park districts, as well as the R3 multifamily dwelling district. So, and then some single family zoning to the east. So this is clearly a mixed use residential development or a residential area. And so the applicant's request for rezoning would be consistent with residential uses in the area. The future land use map shows mixed residential, and again, as I indicated before, the applicant's request is in line with the future land use map, and therefore the 2007 comprehensive plan. Again, they are looking at going through and removing those manufactured homes and replacing them with two-family residences, which we have traditionally favored in the city with other areas such as Wildwood and such as Comanche land, where we've removed a lot of those old products and replaced them with duplexes. So it's consistent with the future land use map. But I do feel it's important to point out that, unlike a lot of things that we've seen before, many of these properties are within the FEMA floodplain map. On this map, what you can see is the light green is the 500-year floodplain. It's now called the 0.2% annual chance of flooding, mostly because if they say 500-year floodplain and then it happens twice in your lifetime, then, obviously that's more than once every 500 years. The same with the base floodplain, that's actually the 1% floodplain. And as you can tell, a lot of the properties are within that. You can develop on that in the floodplain, but it does require, in our code of ordinances, that you have to be 2 feet above the base flood elevation. And finally, the hatched kind of pinkish area is the floodway. And the floodway is the actual channel that the floodplain goes through. And the FEMA definition of that is the floodway is the area defined as any development that happens to it would raise the floodplain a foot, which basically means if you do anything in that, it's actually altering the floodplain. And typically, you don't see development on that. We used to, as a rule of thumb, we don't allow development on that, but technically, you can develop on that property, but it does require some very rigorous hydraulic engineering studies in order to do that. The bottom line is there are going to be some lots in this rezoning that may or may not be developable, and the applicant won't know until they've taken the time to actually do an intense study of that area. But to cover their bets, they're going to go ahead and rezone the property just in case. But, for instance, this 410 and 408, it's probably unlikely that we'll see any development on that, unless they can get an engineering study to show that it can be developed. But I just needed to point that out, that there are properties subject to the floodplain, and as permitting, if this application is approved, as permitting goes through, we will be looking at those properties and ensuring that they meet our floodplain regulations. Finally, staff sent out notifications to the 14 properties within the 400-foot buffer. We received one letter recommending approval and no letters recommending denial. So based on the conformance with the future land use map, the cooperation of the applicant in cleaning up the area, and with the fact that the zoning would likely not hinder the use of surrounding properties, staff does recommend approval of this application to rezone these properties. A representative of the applicant is here, and I would certainly be happy to answer any questions as well. Thank you.
Any questions for Joseph Johnson? Control? No. Everybody's awake, right? Good. Okay. The roads over there, Joseph, in that area are really pretty rough. That's something, do you know the last time we did any road work down there at all?
I couldn't tell you that. I think Public Works Director might be able to answer.
Oh, we have Mark Hyde out there.
No, sir. We have not 19 years without him.
Okay. All right, just wondering. Thank you, sir. Okay, who is here representing this request? Sir, can you come up here and state your name and your address, please?
My name is Henry Moore. My address is 268 Begin Walks Lane, Belton, Texas.
You look like that guy off the cooking show.
I get that all the time.
Yeah.
I just beat cancer, and they fed me steroids for 3 years.
I'm going to get a picture of
you
later.
Up and, yeah, I get that all the time.
All right, so tell us.
Well, basically, me and my partners, we bought all this land due to the fact that it was in one of Donald Trump's economic opportunity zones, so it's a long-term play for us. As most of you guys know, if you've read up on this, after 10 years, no capital gains tax. It's a great investment, but it's a long-term investment. We have partners that are going to be doing something up at the front where the old mobile home park is on Roy Reynolds, which they'll be coming to see you guys very shortly. Besides what we're doing there with the duplexes, the city will probably be happy to know that as of this afternoon, me and my partner, we've been putting the screws to David Boutros, and we now have his property behind us under contract. So we will be tearing out all that mess too.
All the Lynn Drive and all that?
All those cardboard, whatever you want to call them. So
Parker Heights condominiums.
Basically, we're going to bulldoze that, and we would like to continue, and we'll come back with that to add the duplexes there, just to clean up the area. Future plans, we also have several of the commercial. We're meeting with the Kern family next week. We're taking all the commercial, Mr. Smeen's. We're trying to take it all down so we can just do a big cleanup at one time. Hopefully shopping centers and all that, but you know, we're hoping you guys work with us. Like, we do know about the road. We are paying. We have Bob, always forget how to say his last name, Thonhoff. He's done engineering for the city. There is a water line going down Jamie that's only 2 inch, so we're paying, I think it's going to end up costing about $250,000. We're actually putting in the new water line for the, you know, the city. Roads are a little bit shaky, but you know, we are putting in the fire hydrant, stuff like that. We have Wes Atkinson's going to be our developer, him and James Baker. They'll be building all our duplexes. I've got the engineered plans that they're going to be doing here.
Have you done any of these in the area, anywhere else?
Not in this area, no sir. We've owned a lot of rentals, mobile home park stuff, but it's like I said, just at my age, I'm tired of building and selling, so we're going to build and hold on. But like I said, the economic opportunity zone is a big benefit, and our partners who will be coming to see you about what they're doing at the front, which they're wanting to do a really nice upscale RV resort like they did on Lake Travis in Austin on that front part up there. The combination of everything we're doing is just really going to clean up the area, and that's what we hope. You know, the pawn shop that was over there, of course, you know, they're gone, so we're meeting with the Kerners this week to put them under contract. I've talked to Faith Smeen about his commercial. He's a little high, but we're still negotiating with that. Our goal is just to take it all and clean it up.
You've already purchased this property?
Yes, sir. The 70 acres we have purchased.
Very good.
Part of what's going to happen in the floodplain, what we're wanting to do is we're going to have a combination area where our duplex community, as long as they get approved with their open-air RV resort, we want to have like a park back there with hiking trails and, you know, volleyball. We just get really nice upscale type
beautiful
stuff.
Beautiful property there. Yes, sir. Going over.
Yes, sir, it is.
Very good.
And we were just excited to get Boutros' property today because with all the cleanup that we're doing there, to have that right behind us, we weren't too happy about, but we finally got him to come to terms. So,
well, I think anything would be an improvement.
Yes, sir. And, yes, sir. And unfortunately, the going down Mary Jo, we will still have some brand new mobile homes. We've already ripped out 40 mobile homes off that area. We're fixing to have all 100 of them brought out to the country to where we bought some land out there to where our guys can just tear them down at their convenience, which will expedite our promise to the city about getting, you know, 10 done a month or whatever. We're just going to move them all at one time.
Okay.
Mary Jo, that is a mobile home. So we've already purchased 30 brand new 2019 models to go on those strips. We want it all brand new. Other than that, though, the duplex is there, and hopefully we'll be coming back to you in a couple months on Boutros' property to where we can do some townhomes or duplexes there, too. We just have to run our numbers and see which direction goes the best.
Where's the nearest development you have done in Texas? Or
sir, we own a lot of mobile home parks, apartments, stuff like that. This is the first time we've actually, and like I said, people are jumping into these economic opportunity zones that Donald Trump had approved. The benefits are very... very great.
Did you vote for Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So did I. I don't know if I can ask that or not.
Hey, when it comes to business, hey, Republican, yeah, all the way, sorry.
Well, you seem like you quite the entrepreneur there in that area down there. I've lived in Hunter Heights 53 years, and I usually would tell people that's Killeen. No, yeah. Heights. And hopefully,
you know, Hunter Heights is landlocked now, so we just, you know, that's an area we can clean up and get benefits from the federal government by doing this. I wish somebody would help us with all the illegal dumping out there, but
yeah,
I mean, somebody dumped, I'd probably say, 2,000 tires back there. That didn't come out of someone's backyard.
You have to get some cameras down there that are able, high enough they can't get to.
Well, I've been talking to the police about it, and you know, we had somebody dump, I think, 200 school chairs. that had to come from a school. It didn't come from somebody's personal property. And so, yeah, but.
Okay. Commissioners, do you have any questions?
Information, since you have all this acreage, there's no requirement now with the rezoning to keep the lots as here. You could put new roads here. I mean, you could set it up differently. I'm just asking.
Well, sir, we talked to several home builders. There's not enough land. You know, D.R. Horton, those guys, I know Deljean, all of them, they need 100 plus, you know, to build those kind of houses. And back there in that area, they're not going to do it. So the best product we could, you know, it's zoned mobile home. I mean, to be honest, if I threw mobile homes back there, I'd probably get a greater return quicker. But we're looking at it as a long-term play. So building a better quality product. And, you know, Mr. Atkinson, he's built a lot of duplexes in the area. I'd rather see duplexes in this city than I would those junked up mobile homes. And we were out there chasing out drug dealers, all kinds of mess people living in those things. So that's kind of the worst part of our city. So cleaning that up, I think, putting brand new, you know, $200,000 duplexes is better than those trash trailers that have been back there. And, so it's our goal. It's like I said, there's no hiding around that fact. I mean, the benefits that we're getting, I love Donald Trump for what he did. I mean, what we're getting 7 to 10 years from now, no capital gains tax, nothing. It's going to be phenomenal. You know, so it's a long-term play for us. And, you know, it's like I said, it really benefited us today, being able to take down Boutros, because he's quite a character.
That's very good. Commissioners, any other questions? Yes, sir.
No, I just want to applaud your vision. I've been by there a few times and actually seen you all moving the trailers and all this stuff, and it's unbelievable, the change. And now to take the Boutros area and the RV site, I mean, that's just...
And I can't wait for you to see our partners that have come out of Austin. I mean, if you Google La Hacienda on Lake Travis, that's what they're building. They built that, and so they're going to be coming to you guys with their open-air concept. So we partnered with them. They're going to do that up front. Like I said, we're taking over the commercial as much as... And I got the Booze Box guy saying he's willing to sell too. So, I mean, theoretically, we could take that whole corner out there and actually put some decent and start working that side of the city back to where, you know, we're cleaning it all up. But, you know, the main thing is that it's costing us a lot out of pocket up front just to clean up. I mean, we still got, you know, I think just to move the trailers to a spot's cost us $100,000. And like I said, I understood at first what we kind of were upset at first. You know, Mr. Mullis said we'd have to upgrade the water line, but I understood why, because we are kind of redeveloping that area. But hopefully, with all the money we're putting out, maybe the city will come back and look at maybe helping us with the roads, since we are putting in the water lines and all that, maybe later on. You know, since it is city streets. I do know Boutros' property is on a private street, but, you know, maybe we'll get some help down the road from that.
I think you clean the area up down there, and if what you're saying comes through...
Oh, we're too deep into it.
The city would definitely look at doing lots of things.
Okay.
The tax base and more people in the city, but you are going to have a lot of issues down there, the floodplain.
Now we've got, actually, like I said, Bob Fonharf's doing our engineering on the water line. Our guys out of Austin, of course, they're able to do an RV park because it's not permanent structures in the old mobile home park area, and they do a really high quality product, you know, the parks they do. Yeah, there's going to be a few lots that, like Mr. Mullis said, we're probably not going to be able to build on unless I throw them up on stilts like you see down here. We've had engineers look at that where you put them up, you know, where people park over here at the beach or something. But either way, we might lose 3 or 4 lots there, but all of Boutros' property is pretty well out of that area, so we'll be able to clean that up while we're cleaning things up as we go.
Mark, the sewer, are we capable of handling the sewer along these duplexes?
Sewer was fine. It's not the water.
Okay. All right. Commissioners, any other questions? All right, sir, please have a seat. Thank you so much, sir. All right, we now open the public hearing. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in reference to the agenda item? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in reference to the agenda item? All right. Close public hearing. And now it is back to us, commissioners. Mr. Nansen is very excited and has a lot of good ideas. And y'all know how bad it looks down there. I like it. I like it a lot.
I move that we approve as consent.
All right, Commissioner Parker.
You still owe me,
Joseph.
Yeah. That's how you do it right there. That's how you get to say it.
Yeah. All right. Do I have any seconds? Commissioner Robinson? Seconds? Any discussion, commissioners? I'm excited. Got the Harper Heights condominiums there, everything. I'm pumped up. Okay, no discussion. All in favor, please signify, raise your hands. And we're unanimous right there, 8-0. Very good. And that passes. Congratulations, sir. You have to go to the, of course, City Council. You do have the Mayor Pro Tem sitting right there next to you. All right.
Actually, we actually gave land to a church, which one of your council people were part of. We donated some of that land over there for them to build a church.
Nice.
So, I think putting a church right there will start getting rid of maybe the cabaret and all that stuff out of there.
That'll be, a church would be awesome. That's right. All right, well, thank you, sir. Okay, Z19-12. Conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider recommending an ordinance to change zoning designation from R1, family dwelling district, to R2, two family dwelling district, on property described as 5.461 acres, being part of the HB Littlefield Survey, abstract number 511, being all of a called 5.44 acre tract of record of volume 1380, page 255, deed records of Bell County, Texas, also being known as all of lots 6 through 13, block 35, all of lots 6 through 13, block 36, and a portion of Kiowa Trace of Comanche Land, and unrecorded subdivision of Bell County, Texas, generally located at the corner of Ute Trail and Warriors Path Road, Harper Heights, Bell County, Texas.
All right, Mr. Chairman, after you took the time to read all of that, oh, never mind. I was going to say that we were missing the applicant, but perfect timing, Mr. Gomer, so we can move forward as planned. As you indicated, the applicant is here tonight to rezone this property from R1 to R2 in order to build duplexes on this property. You're going to see, as you saw in your packet, there's actually three agenda items for this. We're going through the phases of development. The first phase is zoning. So the applicant's here to do a zoning. Then we'll see a concept plan, and then we'll see a preliminary plat for a portion of this property. So this will be a good educational guide for those of you that haven't been in the council or in the commission for a while. So we'll start with the zoning. So as indicated, the property is zoned R1. The applicant is requesting to rezone this to R2. As it is now, this is a picture of some of the property. This is the Ponca Trace right-of-way that is to the western edge of the property. It's shown as right-of-way in the city GIS right here, but it's actually undeveloped. There's no street there. So this is what we're looking at. This is a view from Ute, where you can see the property. This is Warrior's Path over here on the east side of the property. The existing land use shows it is vacant. It is surrounded by single-family residences, duplexes, multifamily residences on Pontotoc, various manufactured housing, a mobile home park is on the far south end of the map, kind of covered up by the disclaimer. So truly a mixed-use residential area, as we have all come to know the area known as Comanche Land. It's also important to point out that just north of the property off the map is Killeen Middle School number 14, which has, I believe, been officially named Nolan Middle School, is being constructed as we speak. The zoning for the property is R1, and is surrounded by R1 zonings, R1M, some RMH, and as you can see from the existing land use map, a lot of these properties are zoned, but not necessarily used in that manner, so there are some grandfathered properties throughout the area, but again, a true mixture of zoning. Finally, the future land use map calls for single-family residential for this lot. This is another one of those that's kind of on the edge. Staff does feel that because of the placement of the middle school and the developmental character of the area, that while this is not in context with the future land use map per se, it is under the auspices of the comprehensive plan as far as the redevelopment of Comanche Land. We feel that the area is properly designated for multi or mixed residential surrounding the property, and we feel that this is close enough to the property that it's probably not going to infringe on the uses of adjoining properties to rezone this. It's also important to note that the future land use map called for this to be a mobile home park, and it's actually been rezoned to two-family homes, so there's already a precedent for I don't want to say ignoring the future land use map, but understanding that this area is a flux area that we need to look at when we go back to the future land use map. And that's kind of staff's position on that, is that this area is in flux between the widening Warriors Path and the placement of the middle school, that we don't feel confident in the future land use map in its applicability in this particular area. Finally, staff did send out notices to the 30 properties within the 400-foot notification area, and we received no responses in favor or denial, or recommending denial of this rezoning. So therefore, staff does recommend approval of this application to rezone the property from R1 to R2. I mentioned before this, the changing nature of the area. In particular, the rezoning is compatible with other uses. There's duplexes right across U Trail from them. And the fact that the proposed rezoning would likely have minimal impacts on the surrounding land uses. The representative is here to answer any questions you might have, and I certainly would be happy to answer any as well. Thank you.
Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Mullis?
I just have one question, and as you looked at that, the platting that we're going to talk about, the Warrior Path Road, and this is where you get the carpet for the horse. I'm trying to figure out what all has been done with Warrior Path Road as far as the widening of it as this whole area gets more traffic, because that part is just right there at the road.
Right, we are still in the design phases for that, and so we can't positively answer how much right-of-way we would need. We do know that we are working with Nolanville to acquire right-of-way on the eastern side of the road. I think, you know, maybe Mark can get a little bit more detailed about that.
Mr. Mullis is correct. Most of the right-of-way would be obtained on the eastern side of the road. And right there at Ute and Warriors Path, I'm not sure that we need additional right-of-way. Our engineer right now is focusing in front of the middle school. We'll be widening that section basically from Pontotoc Trace to just past the large drainage channel on the other side of the school. So that's happening now. And then we have our project, Warriors Path Project, with K-Tempo funding, looks like as early as 2025. So this portion and the portion on the other side of the creek would happen in 2025.
So has there not been any recommendation for sidewalks on that side based on the middle school?
And we
just need new construction?
Yes, sir. We will have a sidewalk from Bonnetoc Race to the drainage channel on the Harker Heights side, and Nolanville is requesting a 10-foot sidewalk on their side as well.
And so will the road, based on the sidewalks, be wider?
Yes.
Okay.
And we do have the right-of-way from KISD for that wide road section through there.
Yeah, that's what I just needed to know. I'm sure there's been planning, I just don't know about it.
Yes, sir.
But to make sure there's sidewalks for those kids, and that there's enough widening of that road that with more traffic coming in and out and so forth, that they're going to have the ability to turn left into the U Trail and so forth. You know, it's going to get busy over there.
Oh, definitely.
And I just think Warriors Path Road definitely needs a plan. It sounds like there is one.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of people are asking about that as far as the road can be widened all the way down 2410 Knights Way, sidewalks.
Right, and as Mr. Hyde indicated, our focus is, of course, our primary focus is in front of the middle school, but it's my understanding based on the last drawings that we had that it's not going to be widened the entire length of Warriors Path. There will be a continuous turn lane in front of the middle school, but then it's going to channel back down to two lanes with the sidewalks for the rest of Warriors Path. So that being said, we should have enough right-of-way, and we are working actively with Nolanville to obtain right-of-way on the east side of the road.
So the kids coming from
Nolanville
Park, and then the duplex is here. If the duplexes go there, and then we get it down there, I mean, there's just, I've lied in my mind. Normal.
So the sidewalk won't go to Old Dolaville Road? It won't make it all the way down to Sutton Place and all that?
No, the sidewalk, Warrior's Path is going to be completed in phases. So as designed, it will have a sidewalk all the way from 2410 to Old Nolanville Road.
Okay.
They will not be put in at the same time. Gotcha. So we're going to try to rush phase one, which is in front of the middle school, which has the center turn lane. It has the decel lanes in front of the middle school so that people can turn right into the school. That section will have a sidewalk. Unfortunately, it's going to be kind of a sidewalk to nowhere until we widen the rest of the road. But as Mr. Hyde said, based on the K-Tempo funding schedule, we are looking at receiving TxDOT funds for that portion of the road in probably 2025. That could change. You know, other projects may not be lettable, so we may move up. We might move down based on some funding issues. But we're projecting about 2025 to be able to finish the Warrior's Path.
What about cutting over to Highway
9? I'm sorry?
What about cutting over to Highway 9?
That's a different project altogether, and that's actually Nolanville's project.
That is
on the longer-term funding. I think when I looked at it, it was probably beyond 2030.
So as this part here is being built, that sidewalk portion for that will be built at the time that they're doing this construction, true?
I believe so. Mark, is that part of our phase one plan for our sidewalk?
Which part we're talking about?
Warrior's Path, phase one.
For this part right here that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not do the sidewalk as you're doing the construction of these houses?
Because we may be tearing up right of way to move utilities and so forth as we build the road. So we've historically not required applicants. For instance, the Cedarbrook Ridge subdivision, we didn't make them put a sidewalk on Cedar Knob because we know that we're going to widen Cedar Knob, have to move utilities and so forth, and we'd be tearing up that sidewalk. So the same situation here. Yes, Warrior's Path is on our sidewalk plan, but we are planning to put sidewalks as part of that NPO project, and it would be, in my opinion, wasteful to make the developer put a sidewalk on their section of Warrior's Path only for us to possibly tear it up or have to deal with. You got to understand, we're not just widening the road. There's going to be possible grade changes and so forth. That sidewalk may be too high or too low. So now you're having the tail wag the dog as far as, you know, we don't want to have to design a sidewalk to meet the existing sidewalk. We want the project as one complete project. And so, again, we feel like it would be wasteful to make him put that sidewalk on Warrior's Path.
But you have right-of-way. You have right-of-way to get it in with the road and everything you have.
Right.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Mr. Do you have any questions? All right, Mr. Moltz, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Who is here representing this request? State your name and your address, rather, on the podium, sir.
Jerome Gomer, 1524 Indian Trail.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm late. Mitchell and Associates was supposed to be up here today.
Oh, you're okay. So tell us about your project.
Just a 5-acre, just turn it into duplex lots, and just like I've done on Indian Trail and Yuma and Pima.
Are these going to be 3 bedrooms, 2 bedrooms, or the?
3-bedroom with a garage, yeah.
Okay, all right. So that 1-car garage, or?
Per side, yes.
Per side, okay. What else about it?
All brick, I mean, just the standard ones I've been doing that you see on Yuma and Pima.
Okay, very good. All right. Commissioners, do you have any questions here, Mr. Gilmer? All right, please have a seat. Thank you. Okay, now open the public hearing. Who is here to speak? Is there anyone here to speak in reference to this agenda item? Is there anyone here to speak in reference to this agenda item? All right, close that out. Now back at this point for a motion.
Maybe we approve as presented.
All right, Commissioner Parker. And do I have a second?
Second.
All right, Commissioner Watford. Thought you were asleep. Okay. Just kidding. We kind of break it up here to keep going. All right. Is there any discussion, Commissioners?
I just would like to make a statement, and this is just a personal feeling. It just seems like we have just been approving and approving and approving duplexes, and I just don't want our city to turn into a duplex city. I think the two things that we've looked at tonight are a great improvement probably to the areas, but I really do have some concern about the fact that in the past two or three sessions we have approved mostly duplexes. And so I just a statement.
Well, if you compare it though to the number of houses we approved for subdivisions and things like that, it's really pretty minimal.
Yeah, I really need to see the data.
And the other thing there, what I look at is, you know, the duplex is like the, it's better than mobile home. Not that we should be putting these in anywhere and everywhere, but Parker Heights, we put in duplexes on Indian Trail. No offense, I didn't agree with all those the way they looked in time over there, but better products have come around and things have come around in Harper Heights. We have land that's sitting there. That land was probably agriculture land anyways because he had horses there at one point, so we did no taxes off of it.
I just love single family.
Everybody can buy a single house.
I think the problem is trying to get a builder to go in there and build because
yeah,
it's
understand
not a product
all that.
That's sellable with what's
yeah,
around.
Yeah, I understand all that. I'm just making the statement.
You are, and you're great there with that. But that guy earlier comes through with his problem. If half that comes through, what he was saying there,
absolutely.
You know, he may just talk like I do, but if half of it comes through, then you know, yep. We should have a lot more pull here in Harper Heights as far as what's going in. But it's one of those things that, you know, duplexes are, you know, they're better. It doesn't sound right when you say they're better than mobile home, but they are, you know. So, anything else, young lady?
That's it.
All right.
I just wanted to caveat what she's saying because it's...
I'm going to sit you two together next time.
The thing is that building these schools is a circle game because as you build them, they will come. And so if you're going to double the population of a certain area, it's just going to get filled up faster. And then before you know it, you need another school. Okay, so we do need to think about that. I don't know what the estimate was for Nolan Middle School. We do know that Nolanville is going to build on that side with more houses. So I'm sure that they built that school for that population. So this part here probably isn't going to make that much difference. But I think she's right that we are seeing a lot of duplexes.
Okay. All right, commissioners, any other discussion?
I'll just say this. This community was kind of founded on mobile homes, so therefore we have a lot of those communities and they're now aging out. So this is what you're going to see. I think that you have to look at it as what is surrounding it and put yourself in a builder's shoe that you would try to put a product. What kind of product could you put there as a single family home that you could sell? Can you do it? Can you afford to do it? You know, like, I mean, are you actually going to make money or are you going to be giving it away? Because I don't know a whole lot of builders that would take the risk on that with single family, with what is surrounding it.
And on the other half, you're talking owner versus renter. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there is a difference when we're talking these duplexes. So you don't want to get to the point where you're building so many that all you have is renters.
I don't want us to become from a mobile home city to a duplex city. That's all, you know, yeah. I'm saying. And I understand about builders not wanting to build and all of those things. But, you know, it's just something that we need to keep in mind. I don't want us to wake up one day and say, oh my gosh, we now have become a duplex city.
Right.
As opposed to a mobile home city. So what advantage was that to us as homeowners in the city? And I want to be concerned about those people who live in the areas that are single dwelling, single family dwelling. I always want us to be conscious of that and you know what it does to their property. And so just food for thought.
Well, I'll follow up with the, you know, when you said home ownership, you can go through neighborhoods in Killeen and Harper Heights where renter. We've got every house is renter.
And we have that in single family and duplexes.
stuff, just duplexes.
Yeah, and you will have people who live on one side of the duplex, rent the other side out, or the daughter will live in there while she's still in school. And I don't know what the right number is for the number of houses we should have in Harker Heights, the number of duplexes we should have.
The market determines that.
I know I don't want fourplexes in Harker Heights, I tell you that. But duplexes, and I will make sure that Mr. Mullins brings in some houses on the next week. Okay?
And I would love to see some data on numbers of duplexes that we've approved as opposed to single.
I've got that right here.
Okay.
We'll workshop.
I'm kidding. I don't have it right here.
But, I mean, I will tell you that the builder won't build them if they couldn't sell them. I mean, if there wasn't a demand for it in the market. And a lot of these are owned by residents of Harker Heights. I mean, they're not like just selling to random people. I mean, there's people that own blocks here that are residents in our community. So.
Absolutely. I understand all that.
Okay. All right, commissioners, anything else? All right. Okay. Now we're at the point of voting. All in favor, please signify, raise your hands. All right, unanimous on that. We'll look at you there for a second. All right. Good. Passes there. Praise God. Okay. On the new business, in case 19-09, discuss and consider a request by Rachel Gilmer for concept plan approval of 5.461 acre tract of land to accommodate single family residences and a R1 one family residential dwelling district for property described as 5.461 acres. Being part of the HB Littlefield Survey, abstract number 511, being all but called 5.44 acre tract of record of volume 1380, page 255, deed records of Bell County, Texas, also being known as all of lot 6 through 13, block 35, all of lot 6 through 13, block 36, and a portion of Kyle Trace of Comanche land, an unrecorded subdivision in Bell County, Texas, generally located at the corner of Ute Trail and Warriors Path Road in Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
I know that those are getting lengthy. So like my director said, we are seeing a tiered development here. So we're starting with rezone, which was successfully passed to be R2 development for duplexes. And now we're looking at a general concept plan for the area. So this is what the applicant has brought forth, what he plans to do. So what we have seen so far is a two-phase development. We're looking at a total of 9 duplexes, so a total of 18 units there to front Ute Trail. He'll then hook up around Ponca Trace, come back in, make a cul-de-sac, and finish out with 24 total units, 12 duplexes on the interior side. So just to kind of show you the area, don't worry, I planned ahead. This is what we have seen that staff has viewed. There will be no extension of infrastructure, utilities, water, wastewater, things of that nature for phase one. Phase one will be 1 through 9 there right off of Ute Trail. All they will need to do is pull taps to install water and wastewater utilities and hook all those duplexes up, aside from the construction of actually putting them on the lots. Moving forward to phase two, we'll see the build out of the remaining duplex lots there at the cul-de-sac. They are required to have a detention facility that you can see. I'd much rather point it out to you than make you figure it out. Here we are. So here's where our detentional drain, everything is kind of going this way, topography-wise. So they are going to collect all of their runoff in this area.
Now, we have to maintain that after it's in there, or as far as?
Private property. Staff has reviewed the concept plan, and at this time, we've made all comments to address any concerns that we have for the area. Those comments you should see in your packet. We do recommend approval of the concept plan requested by Mr. and Mrs. Gomer for the Sapia Plains concept plan at the corner of Ute Trail and Warrior's Path. I think I've read it too much. Now,
Sapia?
I think the applicant's going to have Sapia.
There we go.
Indian tribe. We're sticking with the trend here. Just wanted to make sure I didn't have anything else. But at this time, I'd open any questions, and the applicant is present.
Commissioner Webster.
Okay, so this is what I was looking at before when I was talking about the width of the road and the sidewalk. And from this, I really can't tell if there's enough room there for what we're talking about. So I just want to make sure that we have included that sidewalk in that.
Are you referencing the sidewalk to be put in along Warrior's Path?
Yes.
Okay.
He's going to make sure there's enough room there, because next thing you know, we've got the side of the kids walking by a brick wall.
Yes.
It's right here, and the road is right there. All right?
Right.
I mean, that to me, that fence looks like it's right next to the road, but I can't tell.
Yeah, generally, the fence will be right on the property line, generally. Whether or not there would be room for a grass buffer or any buffer, I could not confirm that. Again, like we discussed in the previous case of widening Warrior's Path and getting it up to standards to meet the capacity that it's going to be withholding for that middle school to go in, as well as this development and the other developments in this area, we're definitely going to ensure that we have connectivity. I don't have the information or the data behind it to guarantee that there is enough width there. But I don't see us dead-ending a sidewalk if we get the grant funding to put in an entire full-blown widening as much as we can, as much as possible that we can, taking both from our side as well as Nolanville's side, heading north and really try to utilize as much right-of-way as we have possible.
There's nothing worse when I'm driving by 80 miles an hour and there's a little kid that we're walking in the mud, you know?
Well, you can't do it with all the problems.
True.
Yeah. 50, it might be 55 out there, but...
I'm putting a governor on your truck.
Yeah.
Hi, so have y'all gotten any feedback from the DOT on especially the traffic on Warrior's Way?
Have we heard from Department of Transportation, Joseph, TxDOT?
Well, actually, Warrior's Path is a... It's a county road, so we wouldn't have any feedback from them, from TxDOT as far as that's concerned. And I would have to zoom out a little bit. I don't remember where our city limits are.
Oh, sorry, I'm pushing it.
I think in this area, that's actually our road.
Yeah.
Is it because of county road somewhere?
It's a county road further down.
Yeah. So this is actually our road.
We had one person come in here and we approved his building area off of 2410. But DOT cut back on his property because of the traffic on 2410.
Yeah, that's because his TxDOT is 2410 there, whereas they're not.
Well, after the traffic is going to get to this place on 2410.
I'm sorry, sir.
That's half the traffic.
Oh, yeah. But still, it's a county road. But you know, I think the main thing Commissioner Webster is concerned about is, again, you have the duplex, and then you have the road here and the sidewalk. When we go, does it line up to where we have enough room for him to have his property, and we don't have the sidewalk and the road right on top of this?
What's the current right of way that you have there?
I'm trying to see what it says on. I don't think we've platted. It's a variable right-of-way, to be perfectly honest. You got to realize a lot of this area is unplatted, so we do not survey what the exact right-of-way is. It would end up being determined as we move forward.
Well, I doubt that you have much there right now.
Right, but we also know that we're going to require a right-of-way on the eastern side of the road.
But this is Nolanville. This is already in our eyes on the eastern side right here.
And this is the kids walking to school on that side.
Right, yeah.
I think that what everybody's concerned about is making sure that we have the enough right of way there, so in 5 or 10 years, whenever it is that the road is redone and the sidewalks are all put in, that it's there, the lane is there to be able to do it.
Right, and that's like I said, reflected in the plans that our engineers are working on. So, you know, we will work with the right of way that we have. You're asking us to take right away from the applicants. I don't know if we have the strength to do that based on the information we have at the time. And we have to have.
Well, you either have to take it from him or from the owner across the street. I mean, it's all the same. But at least in the planning stages, you could say, hey, we're going to need 10 foot right there, so let's...
Well, that's the problem. We don't know what we need. If we ask for 10 feet and we don't need it, then we committed to taking.
Right.
If we ask for 5 feet and we need 10, then we just kind of wasted everybody's time.
But how do you approve a concept if we know what long-range plan we're trying to do? You see what I'm saying? That's our problem.
We do have limited information on this section. Our engineer is looking at it to where the topography and the road section meets what we're building at the middle school, so we don't have to tear out anything at the middle school. So as far as the water lines, the sewer lines, the storm sewer, all of those things have not been looked at, but I can ask him to look at the sidewalk placement, and subject to what he says, perhaps if there was some unknowns, we could ask for a pedestrian easement through there, perhaps a 10-foot pedestrian easement. And I don't know how that would affect Mr. Gomer, but that would be an option.
I think the only place it's going to affect is that on the corner lot.
Right? Yeah.
That's really the only place it's going to be a problem.
That's something we would easily do between the preliminary and the final class stage.
Well, and I think it would be one thing if the land was sitting there vacant, like, and we said, oh, 20 years from now, that's going to be a vacant zone over there. But we know, we already know what's coming.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that everybody just wants to be sure that when the time comes that it's in place to be able to do what needs to be done. Instead of build something and then, we should have.
Didn't you say earlier, Joseph, that there's sidewalks planned from Old Normanville Road to 2410 on both sides?
Yes.
On long range planning. So they're already planned for on both sides of the road and top to bottom. I mean, not be built tomorrow, but they're already going to be put in as the roads are being done.
Well, they're conceptualized, yes, but we don't know without doing more intense study, exactly how much right of way we need. So,
they don't know if they have the right.
Yeah. But the problem is, at the same time, you can't torpedo someone's development for a possible, we might need it, we might not. I mean, we have to go by our requirements and code of ordinances. As Mr. Knight said, we still have tools that we can employ. It turns out later that we need to do some things. The other thing to remember is that corner lot has a larger side yard setback because it's a corner lot. So we have the potential to go into that setback a little bit if we need to for a sidewalk. So I think that if we did get a pedestrian easement, that would alleviate that situation. It would enable that situation.
Do we know what the retention pond's going to be made out of? Is it concrete?
No, we're not that far in the development of this project yet.
All right, well, we have to trust you guys that these kids are going to have a sidewalk. Eventually, we can have the person not walking by the bathroom with Mr. Gomer's duplex there. So, commissioners, y'all have anything else to say about it? I think we voiced our concerns.
Yeah, all you have to do is, if you go where 2410 crosses Vernal Lee during lunch hour from Harker Heights High School, you'll see the traffic. And it is dangerous. It really is, and people have to be, they can't be walking and looking at their phone at the same time. But you have to assume that there's going to be a few that aren't paying attention. So that's, I think, the point most of us are trying to make. Safety is really important.
It is. Okay, Commissioner, any other questions or anything here?
Nope.
All right. Okay. Is there anyone here like to speak in reference to this agenda item? Is there anyone here like to speak in reference to the agenda item? Okay, close the public hearing. Now at this point here, I need a motion from y'all.
I move that we approve as presented.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's not the designated motion maker. Okay, y'all gotta wake up and don't be scared. So Commissioner Parker has made the motion. Do we have a second? I want a new person this time.
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, please signify, raise your hands. All right, unanimous there. Very good. Okay, next is going to be P19-03, discuss and consider a request by Jerome and Rachel Gamer for preliminary plat approval for proposed Crystal Pie Plains addition on property described as 5.461 acres, being part of the HP Littlefield Survey, abstract number 511, being all the call 5.44 acre tract of record, volume 1380, page 255, deed records of Bell County, Texas, also being known as all of lot 6 through 13, block 35, all of lot 6 through 13, block 36, and a portion of Kyle Trace of Comanche Land, an unrecorded subdivision in Bell County, Texas, generally located at the corner of Ute Trail and Warriors Path Road, Parker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Ms. Payton.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
All right, so moving forward with this piece of property here, we've got a preliminary plat for the first of the 9 duplexes to front along Ute Trail. I'll just kind of preface by saying that preliminary plats can kind of go two different directions. A preliminary plat can be set off by a development of 4 lots or greater. So in this situation, 9 lots would definitely account for a preliminary plat. Or the addition of any infrastructure. So if they have to put in a city street to be adopted by us, as well as any water or wastewater infrastructure. In this case, for this initial preliminary plat, it's solely just the lots that are tipping it off to be a preliminary plat. As you can see, the wastewater is present just on the south side of Ute Trail, so they will just have to tie into the existing wastewater in that area. Here are the proposed sewer tie-ins for this property that their engineer has drafted. You'll see that they're going to tie in there on the south side, bore them across, and get going. Again, with water, it's on their direct side of the northern portion of Ute Trail, so they will then be tying into those as well. And here are their schematics for the proposed water in that area. They do have an existing hydrant there in between lots 7 and 8, as well as an existing hydrant there at the intersection of Ute Trail and the undeveloped Ponca Trace. So fire suppression-wise, on this phase, they're in good shape. Comments provided by staff have been addressed. Those comments are within your packet. The concept plan did meet all of our requirements, and they do have zoning to meet the development that they would like to do, that they desire on this property. So at this time, staff does recommend approval for the preliminary plat for Sapaya Plains. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Commissioner, do you have any questions for Mrs. Payton? Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right, commissioners. Now we're going to be a public hearing. Who's here to speak in reference to the agenda item? Is there anyone here that you want to?
Oh, right.
No, you're good. You're okay. Is there anyone out there who would like to speak in reference to the agenda item? Okay. Now close the public hearing. Back to us. Commissioners, do I have a motion? And anyone here? I'm joking about a new person each time, all right? We're joking. So whoever wants to make a motion is fine with me. Whoever.
I make a motion that we table this until we find out more information on the width of that area. What we're talking about right here is 1 duplex that could be affected. I really think we need more information to make this decision on this plan.
All right, Commissioner Webster has made a motion to table.
We need to make a point of order, Mr. Chairman. We cannot table a platting action. We might be able to, but I would recommend that you actually deny There is no penalty to the applicant if it's denied, but state law says that we have to act on a plat within a certain time period, and I'm not sure if tabling qualifies as an action, but I'm positive that denial would be. So I would ask that if you are not wanting to make a positive decision on this, that you amend your motion to deny the plat. Again, there's no penalty for the applicant. We can bring it back next month. It doesn't have to wait 180 days like you would in a rezone. And it's not, you know, there's not a stigma attached to that. I would just say that tabling is not, in my opinion, considered an action.
One question, though. The applicant's not going to be able to answer that question. It's going to be up to y'all to determine that. Right?
That's correct. We would have to research that with the city, with the engineer.
All right, Commissioner Webster, you want to read
right, the bill? I'll make the motion to deny this until...
So you make a motion to deny it until deny period?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, so we have Commissioner Webster, and then we have Commissioner Charlton. And that is for a motion to deny. Okay. All right, any discussion, commissioners?
Would we be able to have information from you all at the next meeting? Not the June meeting, but the, not the June 6th meeting, but...
Right, that would be our hope, is that we would have a chance to go, to get together with the city engineer and have some more concrete answers for you about exactly how much right-of-way they feel that we need and what that would do to the lot layout and so forth.
I have one other question. If you come back and say, no, we don't have enough, can you really do anything?
Yeah, we can request the right-of-way.
Okay.
We can ask the applicant to amend their concept plan and their preliminary plan.
And if they say no?
Well, we can require the right-of-way per our thoroughfare plan, so we have some mechanisms in place for that, but we will certainly work with the applicant to make sure that we reach as amicable a solution as we can. You know, again, an idea might be that we have enough right-of-way for the road, and maybe it's the sidewalk, so we deal with an easement for that instead. So there are other tools that we have at our disposal, and we will, of course, work with the applicant to try to make sure that we don't, you know, take property that we don't need.
All right. Commissioners, any other discussion? Okay, so at this point we have Commissioner Webster motion to deny, Commissioner Charlton seconding that motion to deny. We've had a discussion, and now it's time to vote on this. All in favor, please signify by raising your hands. We have four.
Some people may abstain.
Got to ask what? I'm sorry?
Ask for opposing.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Got it. Thank you. So we have four to deny this, and now I need everyone to vote that is against that.
Two, three,
four. So we're 4-4. Does we arm wrestle this time, or what do we do?
I would actually need to consult Robert's rule of order on that. I would say that probably fails because it's time.
Fails.
Yes.
Fails.
All right. That's why I got him up here. All right, good. So at this point, we can go ahead and ask for the motion on this, or we're...
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. All right, folks, this time we're going to go ahead and ask for a motion.
Move that we approve, as presented.
All right, so Commissioner Parker puts that we approve this, and do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Commissioner McCann. All right, any discussion, commissioners? Okay, I'll say something. Where we are right now, the safety of the kids is extremely important there. Doing things right is extremely important here. I don't think we're going to be in a situation here where 5 years from now we're going to go, damn, we screwed up on that. I think going with this is the right thing to do. We've already approved four or five things for them here, it seems like, tonight. This deal, I think that the city is not... city's not perfect, but the warrior's path there is going to be done right. We may not know if it's going to be on that side of the road or this side of the road, But somehow, some way, there's going to be a sidewalk there for these kids to get to that school or wherever they're going, or whoever's walking wherever.
All right, so Mr. Chairman, I hate to interrupt, but after conferring with the applicant has brought up the potential solution of you moving to approve lots 1 through 8, and therefore lot 9 would remain in limbo until phase 2. And at that time, we can go back and do all the calculations we need. As far as public hearings and so forth are concerned, we did do a public notification for lots 1 through 9, so approving a plat smaller than that would meet the, you know, we would be okay as far as open meetings. If we had decided to add a couple more lots to it, then we'd be in trouble with the Open Meetings Act. But you were certainly within your powers to amend the plat and only include lots 1 through 8 as far as your recommendation is concerned, and the applicant has offered that as a potential solution.
We already have a motion on this and a second.
That is correct. So you could vote on that, and if you approve it, great. If you don't approve it, then that would be another alternative at that point. Or you could offer an amending motion. You know, Robert's Rules of Orders, you could offer an amending motion. You vote on that amending motion. If it approves it, if you approve that, then that becomes the new motion. So there's a couple of ways that you could do that if you wanted to go that route.
I didn't make the motion, you didn't.
Just call
that. Somebody else can make a motion to amend Mr. Parker.
We still gotta finish this up though, right?
Well, no, you can make an amending motion.
Okay.
And right. Then you have to vote on that amending motion first, and if that carries, then it's a new motion that you go back and re-vote on that. If it doesn't carry, then you go back to the original motion.
All right. I appreciate Mr. Gomer working with us here.
I'll amend a motion.
He's gonna amend his motion.
I'll make the amendment if you want.
Okay, so Commissioner Parker, if you amend your motion?
To include lots 1 through 8.
To include lots 1 through 8. Is that going to work like that, Joseph?
Yes, sir.
All right. Commissioner McCann, you want to go ahead
and give
your second?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, boom. And any discussion, commissioners? Okay. I think everybody's done really good tonight going over this stuff. All right. Really getting in there, getting involved. I like that. Okay. At this time, it's time for vote. All in favor, please sit by, raise your hands. All right, we are 8-0 on that.
Okay, so just to clarify, we are going to let the City Council know that you amended the plat, the preliminary plat, to only include lots 1 through 8, and we'll ask the applicant to try to prepare corrected drawings reflecting that for the City Council meeting.
That's really good. And you got all that down, Tiffany?
I do.
All right, thank you very much, ma'am. All right, good job, guys. Okay, P19-04, discuss and consider a request by UBET, UBET Investments, LLC, for preliminary plat approval for proposed replat property described as Lot 1, Block 15, and Lot 1, and part of Lot 2, Block 21, in addition to the City of Harker Heights in Bell County, Texas, as appears upon the map recorded in Cabinet A, slide 184-A of the Bell County plat records, and embracing the tract described to UBET Investments, LLC, Series 102, property number 2, recorded document number 2018-0003165 of the Bell County official public records, generally located at 1300 Chiricahua Trace and 1416 Shoshone Trail, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Mrs. Pate.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
So the applicant has requested preliminary plat approval for this, these two properties, 1416 Shoshone, 1300 Chiricahua, for roughly 0.82 acres to contain three two-family dwellings as well as one single-family infill dwelling to be divided up to fit on both of these properties here. So unlike our previous case, this one will require the addition of water and wastewater infrastructure. Primarily, I believe, just water. If I'm not correct, we'll get to that. So here is 1416 Shoshone Trail, right behind a subdivision there along Merlin, vacant piece of property. And 1300 Shoshone, Chiricahua Trace, I apologize, also vacant. So we have the division of lots both across the street from each other. It appears that they will both face Shoshone Trail, so in time we will be readdressing those properties to have accurate addresses along Shoshone Trail. But you will see that there are three duplex lots, two duplexes, one A and one B, there along Shoshone Trail to the south. And then north of that, looking across the street, we'll have a duplex and an R1I. So trying to really take advantage of the property as best as they can. The reason for stalling on development in this area and why it's probably sat vacant for quite a while is because it did need to extend to reach city utilities. So there is a proposed sewer extension, so they are currently on city water, I believe. The applicant can correct me if I'm wrong, but they will be installing water meters for their units and extending the public infrastructure.
Which of these is the house as compared to the others, the duplexes? Which of these four lots is the house? The single?
I believe it's going to be on 1B block 15 here. So this will be duplex, 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 single family. If you're in this area, Chiricahua and Shoshone, there are other developments that took advantage of R1I as well. So kind of keeping consistent with the area. The proposed preliminary plat has been revised to address all staff comments, and staff does recommend approval of this preliminary plat. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have moving forward.
All right. Commissioners, any questions for Mrs. Page? No, ma'am. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, who's here to represent this request? You want to state your name and your address?
Jeff Lackmeyer, 1201 South Douglas Young Drive, Killeen, Texas.
All right. So, Jeff, tell us what's going on.
These two properties have been abandoned for quite some time. You can see in the photos that one of them that was really heavily wooded. So they've really just kind of been abandoned for the most part. So we picked them up and we're going to improve them. They used to, I believe, one used to have a mobile home on it, and I think the 1300 of Chiricahua, I never had anything on it, as far as I can tell. So.
All right, Commissioners, any questions here?
No, I love the idea of the duplex and the single family dwelling. I love that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, that's probably such a bad word. I get one resident in there.
It looks like your duplexes might look like the ones on where 1907 is, in the top right corner.
Yeah.
Long, going straight back versus wide.
If you look at 1927, the lot size, if it's on Merlin, it's approximately the same lot size as 1907 residential. If you look down at 1419 Shoshone, you know, similarities to that duplex would be what would be going in at the 1416 Shoshone.
Like 1419?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay.
And the duplexes, what size? They're going to be three bedrooms, two bedrooms?
It'll probably be two bedroom, two bath.
Garage?
With the single garage, it'd be just a one-car garage. So, yes, sir.
All right, good. All right, Commissioners, any other questions? Mr. Blackmire? All right, sir, please have a seat. Okay. All right. Open up the public hearing now. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in reference to this agenda item? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in reference to the agenda item? Close the public hearing. And back to us, Commissioners. I'll make a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve as presented.
Very good. All right.
Just for you.
And I'll step in.
Oh, my God. All right. Come on. Yeah. Step All right. Up. Commissioner McCann and Commissioner Carey. So Commissioner McCann makes a motion. Commissioner Carey makes a second. Any discussion, Commissioners? Okay. All in favor, please signify, raise your hands. And we are unanimous there. Very good. All right. Congratulations, sir. Going back to the city council meeting. And we appreciate you bringing your products to see our rights. Okay, next is item is citizens to be heard. Are there any citizens out there that need to be heard? Nope. All right. Next item would be reports from P&Z commissioners, alternates. Are there any commissioners or alternates who would like to speak? Okay. Well, I would like to speak to the signs. Okay, I didn't know who's going to be here June 6th. I've been hearing people say they can't be here. I can't lose going to be here. So one, two.
three, four, five, six. Okay, so we have six for sure. We'll be here June 6th. All right.
It's just this one item, right?
Okay, so Commissioner Wofford and Commissioner Parker will not be here. All right, Tiffany, you got all that, ma'am? All right. Any great scout comments out there?
No, there are. I always have comments.
I thought words were less, sir.
Again, I want to thank you for being here on June 6th, those of you that can make it. As you can see, the descriptions for our cases are very complex when you're dealing with multiple lots. And so we had a bit of a snafu with the description of the mobile home park. In particular, it said 1 acre, 1.26 acres instead of 26.456 acres. And that's enough to throw that into limbo. So we were able to get out notifications and do what we needed to do to move it to the 6th. And so I appreciate you making the time to have a quorum to do that. You know, accidents happen, and it's all, you know, I take responsibility for that, and I appreciate your cooperation in not delaying that project so they can make it to the City Council on the 11th with the other cases that we heard tonight. The last thing I want to talk about are some things that we're going to workshop next month. We will add duplexes versus single-family residences to the agenda. I think it is something that we need to look at. I know that previous councils have looked at not allowing very many more duplexes in the Comanche Land area because of the streets being so narrow and so forth. We didn't get into it really with Mr. Gomer's application, but because of the connectivity between, you know, eventually Ponca is going to punch all the way through to Pontotoc, and so there'll be a nice grid system in that particular area, but there's other areas where you start getting into some density where we will have issues, and we do need to look at that. But what I really want to talk about very quickly, and that we will try to workshop in the next month, is that there were some things at the state legislature that impacted the city of Harker Heights. It impacted all cities in Texas, and it'll impact this body. The first thing is that was reported in the newspaper was that we did not get approval of our proposed legislation for reimbursement for disabled veteran tax exemptions. So for those of you that may or may not be following it, 100% disabled veterans get 100% exemptions on their property taxes. And so in the city of Harker Heights, we are disproportionately, compared to our population, penalized for that. You know, obviously we support our veterans, and we want them to have this exemption. The problem is the way the law was written, we are beyond the buffer needed to in order to qualify for state aid. So cities like Killeen and Commerce Cove and Gatesville actually touch Fort Hood. So they get some reimbursement. It's not 100%. I don't even think it's 50%. But it's still a reimbursement, whereas we get nothing. And when you look at the amount of money, the percentage of our actual revenues that are affected, Harker Heights is the most affected city in the entire state of Texas. So we worked really hard to get that legislation through, and it went through the House like gangbusters. I think only two people voted against it. But we thought we had support in the Senate, but it didn't even make it to the floor for a vote. We don't know why that is, but that's just part of politics. So that's the first bill. The next bill is HB 852, which has to do with fees for permitting. And so that bill says that you cannot use the valuation of a home or of a project to determine the fees for a permit. So whenever we do our entire residential remodeling permit schedule is based on the valuation. So how much is it going to cost to remodel your bathroom? And then there's a scaled set of fees based on that. Well, that's all now illegal. The state legislature passed it, and that law is effective immediately because they had a two-thirds majority vote on that. So we're working to fix that and come up with a new way of calculating our fees. It's not the end of the world, but it's kind of inconvenient that I have to drop everything and work on that now. The
so
bigger
you're saying, I have to lowball my prices.
Yeah, you don't have to lowball your estimates anymore. It's going to be based completely on something different. Another issue is that the state legislature failed to continue the state plumbing board. That was in the news as well this morning. I don't know if you saw that. So that basically means that the licensing for state plumbers is no longer controlled by the state. It's not controlled by anybody. So basically anybody can be a plumber now. You know, that's all great till you realize that plumbers also deal with gas. So we're going to have some issues with people going in and putting gas connections and so forth. We're looking at how to deal with that. We're going to have to deal with licensing and registration at the local level. Hopefully we'll do something at the county or COG level so that we can get Colleen and Belton and Cove and Temple and everybody on board on the same program. But it's something that we're going to have to deal with. And finally, H. Bill 2439 is in front of the governor for his signature. Obviously, he doesn't have to sign it for it to go into effect. The only thing that we can hope for is that he vetoes it. And this bill basically makes it illegal for a city to prohibit a building material or building technique that is allowed in the model codes. So in other words, the International Building Code or the International Electrical Code, whatever the federal government has approved, is all that we can require as a city. So that means when we make local amendments to deal with things like ground conductivity because we have really dry or clay type soil, those amendments no longer are valid. But more importantly, building material. So we have a requirement that all commercial buildings in the city be masonry. That's out the door as of September 1st. Somebody can build out of any material they want as long as it is allowed in the federal codes. So somebody that's invested millions of dollars, like let's say McDonald's, building a nice masonry building, has no protection, and somebody can go in right next door to it and build a metal building. If the codes allow for people to make buildings out of Connex boxes, that's going to be allowed too. We can't stop that.
What about like not necessarily us, but other towns where they have kind of like overmaze where like there's color scheme or like
all gone. Kind of stuff, all that's gone. The only thing that's protected are historical districts. Because that was my first comment. As initially presented, it would have done away with historical districts as well. But that ended up being amended, and also dark skies requirements will also be allowed, which we don't have any, but we're looking at doing that. But long story short, we have requirements like large accessory structures have to look like the house. Not anymore. We don't have to require, we can't require masonry construction for commercial buildings. We can't prohibit metal construction of residential buildings. So the only thing we can hope for is that the governor vetoes that bill, but I don't think he's going to. So that's going to become our reality on September 1st.
And that's nationwide or statewide?
That's statewide. So, you know, you can tell by my tone, I strongly oppose that measure. It destroys the individuality of the city. It destroys our ability to shape the city in the way that we want it shaped. And I think, I'm going to stand on my soapbox for 3 seconds, but I think it's very hypocritical of the state legislature to apply a shotgun approach to how municipalities run things, yet at the same time tell the federal government to stay out of their business.
Yeah.
So, end of soapbox, end of speech, but I just want you to know, so we're going to workshop that because we need to think about some alternatives. We do have some alternatives that we can look at, but realistically our hands are going to be tied when it comes to things like that in the future. And that's all I've got.
Yep. Any other staff out there want to talk?
Nope.
All right. Mayor Pro Tem?
Nope.
All right. We are locking this out at 8:03 p.m. tonight. Y'all did a great job. I'm proud of y'all.